Yes, indeed. Welcome on into a special edition of Sports Talk, hanging out at Nicholls State University in Thibodaux at the Manning Passing Academy. Premier football camp in America. Steve Geller along with Mike Dettelier. And man, oh man, we're getting lucky with the weather out here and a beautiful breeze blowing by.
Yeah, man, we had some thunder and some lightning and a little bit of rain. But man, it's
kind of cooled things off.
It sort of cooled things off a little bit. And so super to have it here. Over 1,400 campers here. It's the record. 48 starting quarterbacks in college football are here. We're going to have Archie Manning join us a little after 5 o'clock this afternoon. But joining us now, CEO of the Thibodaux Regional Health Systems, and a guy that's been involved in every camp they have here. And what a economic boom it's been to this area. Almost $4 million in the summertime. Greg Stock. Greg, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Great to be here. You guys do a tremendous job keeping track of all these unbelievable athletes.
And so we just got to meet Lane Kiffin's son.
Yes.
Yeah, he comes up. I hold you. No, I'm a sophomore. And, oh, man, he looks like a big kid, but he's here to work out. But, Greg, you've been involved with this a lot and knowing in the community with a lot of youth sports, not only football-wise, in which we see here for the Manning camp, Louisiana Line camp, also pro football camp with Dr. Elias, but also with volleyball, the beach volleyball courses. Man, the first time I see that, I was like, what? Man, look how nice this is over here. And swimming, also tennis. So tell us a little bit about your involvement with it and so many, not only men's sports, but also with women's sports.
Yeah, well, it goes back to the vision originally of having doing more than acute care. Being more than a hospital that just takes care of people when they're sick or they have an accident or something and they need you in that moment, to one in which we get upstream from that and we try to help prevent it. So if you sit down from scratch and say, what are we going to do here? That's what started for me. And then I wanted to make a statement that was a pretty strong one, that if you pull up in front of the building, it's not a little bitty one-story building that kind of looks like an afterthought to these things, because they're actually really important matters. And so I've been in quite a few wellness centers, quote-unquote, all over the country, West Coast and East Coast, trying to figure out what could we do here. Then there's the believability piece of, can you actually do that in this little town? And that's where the... you have to believe in the vision, but you also have to figure out, can you make it really happen, or is it going to be a flop? You're going to build a big old building and cost a lot of money, and you can't get the programmatic elements, and will people actually use the fitness center, and what about all these athletic things that, to some degree, are underserved, that's my opinion, and the youth, especially, I think sometimes the young women don't have a place to go, per se, to really try to reach their potential. It's about how you can help people not only participate, but go to a quality program with great coaches, great equipment, great facilities, and play like a winner and help those people move on to other levels where they can and they want to.
Greg, I'm going to stop you for a moment.
We have some
breaking news, and so we're going to send it to our news department right now. Thanks so much, Ian. Really appreciate giving us that news. Greg, one of the things...
Got to be part of breaking news today here.
How about that? You never thought when you sat down you would be part of it.
But, those are some clever dudes to elude the police.
That's
like
unbelievable
that.
For that long a period of time. How many people have actually visited the Wellness Center? I don't remember exactly how many years it's open.
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah, I thought so. So it's 6 years old.
Well, annually in the fitness center part, there's 350,000 visits per year. There's about 5,000 members. So you can multiply that by the number of visits. And then there's all kinds of other stuff. All the volleyball, the turf playing field over there is really been a great success. You mentioned football. You go over there when the flag football, these little guys
seven
are there.
7-on-7.
Unbelievable.
Ooh, man.
And the girls are in that now. The young women are playing that. And it's really been a huge success, and we've worked with the guys that put it together. We don't own that per se, but you know, then there's the swim teams are over there continuously. There's about 120 members of our swim team. Me seeing kids go to major colleges. These are local kids that I think are well coached. They've gone to international swim meets, all kinds of great things. But mostly it's just what we have here and the quality of it. And then we have, like you mentioned, you referred to the beach volleyball. So Nichols uses that facility for track, for soccer, for beach volleyball, and for tennis. So now all of it's built to hospital business, to the NCAA standards, which are, I found out, sort of like Medicare regulations. Unbelievably.
Tell them about the sand stuff. Because for people don't realize, for beach volleyball, yeah. And Greg was explaining to me, Greg, I'll let you do the explanation. Yeah. How many different kind of sands have to go in that beach
there's
volleyball?
Four. So they mined the sand out in Mississippi, and they tested it all there and screened it all, four different sizes of granules. Brought it down here and tested it again before we put it. But it had to be mixed perfectly.
Wow.
And so that was just one piece of it. But there's...
What's the upkeep of that like?
A little bit. And then the tennis courts, you had to have, I think it was 3 or 4 years of the wind speed and direction and things like that as to how the volleyball courts are faced, you know.
Yeah.
And on and on and on. But when people come here, a recent volleyball tournament, they had teams out of California, West Coast, up there in Dallas, Texas, and stuff. It feels good when people come in here that play all over the country and say, this is better than anything we have. And so a little sense of pride there, not false pride, but just that we have, you know, quality facilities that you don't have to apologize for them. In fact, we can feel really good about it. And our young people can also helps recruit, of course, the young people that come in to interview for they're going to play on those fields. They want to see that stuff. And it helps Nichols recruit. But that's part of it. It's not the whole thing. And there's a lot of high school, same sort of thing, that is enabled now to occur over there. There's an unbelievable number of soccer things going on. There's senior soccer guys that love to play soccer.
Man, when I walk, maybe I can get into that senior tour, right?
Yes. You could get a wheelchair with a motor on it. I'm messing with you.
I don't think motorized. I want to go that route, but
motorized, man. Motorized. Pull the throttle back and you outrun everybody, you know. But
Greg, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll talk about also for you to build a cancer center here, because so many people from this area, they had to make that choice, maybe going to Houston or maybe taking that drive to New Orleans. And for a lot of people in the Bahia, man, I don't want to do that.
No.
And so you made that happen. So we'll talk about that a lot more here. We're from the Manning Passing Academy. They're on break. All the kids, all the counselors.
Got real quiet.
It got real quiet here because everybody's
amazing.
Eating
yes.
at the present time. We'll be back with more from the Manning Passing Academy. And we want to thank Greg Stock and Thibodeau
thank
Regional
you.
Health Systems for making this work each and every year. We'll be back more with Greg Stock right after this break.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We are live here at the Nichols State University, hanging out on the football field for the Manning Passing Academy, brought to you by Thibodeau Regional Health Systems. And man, oh man, the breeze coming through, got no complaints at all, like I said, with that.
Not from me.
Gorgeous day out here this evening.
Not from
me. Feels great.
We have on with us Greg Stock, CEO of Thibodeau Regional Health System. And Greg, talked about your connection with the camps and some of the sports things that are involved, both men and women. But also a few years back and building the cancer center here. And I think that's so important. We have such a high rate of cancer in our area.
Yes.
And so many people, you know, they didn't have a lot of choices for cancer care. Either you go to MD Anderson out in Houston, or you would go to New Orleans, and you built this beautiful facility here, and how many lives it's really affected so far. And so many people that have went there was like, man, the care, the doctors here have just been fantastic.
I appreciate that. We started from scratch, you know, 30 years ago when I first came here to this point today where we have, I think, a state-of-the-art cancer facility. And the programs and services are match it. You know, a regional medical center can't do everything. Virtually nobody can do every single thing that's imaginable in form of treatment for cancer. But you can do a lot. And you can do it really well. You can get great clinical outcomes. You can get very high patient satisfaction scores if you want to survey it, and we do. And, you know, people, you mentioned going into New Orleans or somewhere. I learned, I think, a long time ago, a lot of the people around here don't want to park in a parking garage.
No.
If you notice that building, all the parking
is flat.
Yes, it is. And it was designed and built that way. So for the people who live here, the people that have their preferences like that, and the building, not to go too long on it, but has won a lot of national awards, but it's got flooded with natural light. It's not a dark place. When you come in and into it, you feel enlightened, frankly. It's also meant to be a place that is for cancer patients and their families. They're looking for some place that feels like a respite. It feels like I can leave some of my troubles alone for a few minutes and just feel this the feeling of the building and stuff. If you can recruit great nurses, chemotherapy nurses, for example, and doctors that care a lot, and those are challenging things. You know, they don't just happen. And have a culture in there of the patient comes first. No matter what, the patient is number one, and you act that way, you speak to people that way, and you're oriented in your work that way, where the patient comes first, it can be a great thing. And that's what we've tried to do in our cancer program, has grown and grown and grown, and we're trying to recruit a bunch more doctors right now because the ones that are there are really, really busy.
Yeah, and it is something in our region that has hit. And we all know if you catch it at an early stage, your yes. chances of recovery and full recovery is really good today.
Yes.
And it's amazing the medical treatment that we see.
It is.
In every aspect of medicine, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and there's no secrets, you know. I mean, you can get the MD Anderson protocols. They're very much available if you want to use them. There's no secret place somewhere where all those things are hidden. There may be some brand new development thing that's unproven, but it's there, and you can even go into those kind of things. But basically, the administering the protocols and so forth, properly diagnosing first, and then administering those protocols, it can end up being three things for the most part. One is surgery, one is chemotherapy, and one is radiation therapy. And it may be a combination of all three of those things or two of those things that when they're properly administered together have that desired effect where they can really make a huge difference. There's other things that we've tried to do around just the treatment doctors that treat cancer, like we recruited an interventional radiologist, a kid that grew up in Raceland. He's smart as whip. He's really smart.
Well, look where he grew up.
Look where he grew up. And it's in his genes. And nice guy, easy to work with. And we have a $2 million piece of equipment where he does interventional radiology. So that can set up something where you have a urological cancer, but you have to do this other study first in order to really set it up right. If you don't have that patient then has to travel for it. So we've closed a lot of those gaps, not 100% of them, but lots of them, and had good outcomes, really good outcomes clinically and so forth.
I know Archie has brought this up on shows we've done. Pete Jenkins, so has Dr. David Elias. We couldn't do these camps without the athletic directors, athletic trainers from Thibodaux Regional Health Systems. And you don't have enough, so you got to go out and actually recruit trainers to do these camps.
We do. We
and
have.
It gives them experience.
It's fabulous. You know, this is such an enriching experience for so many people. I know, I joking with you earlier, you're in paradise with all these coaches and these players. It's amazing. This is an amazing thing. But yeah, we have 80 plus trainers that are here, and I was talking to some of those quarterbacks this morning. Man, it's hot around here with this humidity. I said, "Well, it's hot in Oklahoma too, isn't it?" You know, and
but that humidity catches them here.
It does, and so all of those prevention things, educational things that keep them from having a serious problem, but being there being able to act in those situations during the camp. If you have heat exhaustion or something that happens, or injuries to your whatever, your knees, your feet, the things that happen to athletes, is really great. And we have a great group. And look, they work so well with Archie and his staff. There's nobody from administration in the hospital hovering over them, telling them do this, do that. They just do it, and they do a great job of it.
I know you really enjoy the bull riding, the steering, that sort of thing. I spent some time with David Fournier, who's from my neck of the woods. He went into our Bayou Region Hall of Fame last year, and he's like, "Mike, I can't ride no more. I got a little bit too much weight around the waist like you do." Yeah. But I know you really enjoy that part. You'll have an event every year with the bull riding.
Yeah, we have a guy named James Pierce that we work with for, it's been 20 years now. And James was a bull fighter when they had the PRCA events. You don't see them much anymore, where they turn a bull out in the arena and then you get out there and you get scored on how close you can get to being hooked but not get hooked. You know, it's crazy. Some of those bulls are like those little Mexican bulls. They're 1,100 pounds and they're quick. And
they can have that job.
They want to eat somebody.
Yeah. I grew up around cattle, horses. Oh, and, man, the worst ones are the younger ones.
Oh, my
God. And they don't know no better. And if they think you messing with them, they mess with you. They don't give you a shot.
But we do that now twice a year. There's one coming up in August and Homa and Thibodaux and the Civic Centers. We pretty much sell them out. And they bring in these bulls from all over Oklahoma, Texas, various places. That's interesting stuff because there's competition going on. They score the bulls. And there's competition between the bull, you know, the guys.
So they get a prize, that bull.
Money, M-O-N-E-Y. And
gotcha. The best prize.
You know, it's pretty fascinating. But there's some great bull riders from right around here. These guys can ride bulls up on the, you know, the PRCA level. They go to Las Vegas and stuff. Really great rodeo cowboys here, right around here.
Old-time cowboys. Yeah. Not drugstore cowboys.
No.
The real McCoys.
No. I was raised on a ranch in Arizona. My dad was a rancher. And these giant, wide-open places, you know. And I was raised in the mountains, so we had, I call them mountain horses, but they were quarter horse type, tougher than crap, you know. Horses are tough. And we ride hard, 10 hours. And there was no crying or complaining, you know, it's old.
You fall, you get back up.
You know, you get up, get your butt up and get going, you know, and no excuses. And you do what you say you're going to do, and you get asked to do something. That's what you do, not 20 other things, and you get it done. You know, all that stuff.
It's funny how animals are and how they sort of connect you.
Yeah.
And so I have pasture land right behind on the side where I live.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been sort of inside a lot, haven't been out a lot since the knee surgery. So we go to, Charlie heard this story this morning. So we go to the Bayou Region Hall of Fame and open up the door, and all it did, the light came on in my truck to get out. And I have a donkey on the side. And my wife's right there. And he let out the loudest yell because he had not seen me in a while, and yeah. I'll go feed them, yeah. you know, and boy. Yeah.
They're not stupid.
They get it, and yeah. is he a stone-cold killer? If that's a bobcat, a wolf,
oh, yeah.
anything canine, even yeah. a dog, yeah. you better not get too close because, okay, yeah. if you're used to fighting, it's kind of, I'm looking at you straight. Not the donkey. He'll look at you, and then he'll turn around, and you hear that smack of that back foot hit you, and it's beyond the 10 count. It's beyond the 10
like
count.
Like cartoons, you got the X's in your eyes.
Beyond X. And then after he messes with you, then he stomp on your ribs.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to break your ribs. No, you're not supposed to be here. You know, and he knows that they're trying to take down a little calf.
They put him in the yeah. with the sheep out west in those big sheep areas. They'll have donkeys, and they keep the coyotes and stuff from, you know, killing the sheep.
Especially the young ones because
they'll bite them, too. They've got them to use their front feet. They're kind of nasty to go up against.
But my wife did get a heart test that night. She heard that because that came out of nowhere. I couldn't see him. And, boy, he let it out to let me know, hey, Pops, you here? I thought something had happened to you at all that time. Greg,
yeah, they do. They know you.
They do know you. And, it's
by the way,
smell.
You guys do a great job, I think. All your knowledge of this stuff and your interest in it and your support over here on the bayou where you were raised is really pretty remarkable to me.
It's nice to be out here.
Greg, thanks so much.
Great job.
Thanks so much for joining us. Thank you for everything you've done for the community here to make life, you know, easier. And I can remember all this area that we see today. Ain't nothing but cane field when I was a kid growing up. You were still not in the state of Louisiana.
Yep.
But this was nothing but cane field. And to see what the Thibodaux Regional Health System has done has been just remarkable. A lot of that has to go certainly to you. I know you got a board of directors.
Oh.
You got to answer to. But you got the vision for it.
Great staff. Fabulous people that can take complicated things and put them on the ground and make them work. We have a lot of those people. Love them.
Thanks so much, Greg. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Stay tuned for more of our special edition of Sports Talk. We're here at the Manning Passing Academy, brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System. Taking the break. Be back with more talking about an LSU commemorative baseball after this championship season, right after this on WWL. Just a gorgeous Friday here in Thibodaux, hanging out at the Manning Passing Academy for a special edition of Sports Talk that's brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System. Now on the line with us, Bob Iback with Nyco Sports. Thanks so much for joining us, man. Can't wait to talk more about this championship baseball after a remarkable LSU baseball season. Thanks so much for the time, Bob.
Hey, good to be with you guys, Mike and Steve, and I know we spoke earlier in the week, and we have done really well with moving these special limited edition LSU championship baseballs for the College World Series, their second title in 3 years for Coach Jay Johnson. And we start out with 2025 of these licensed baseballs, which come in a beautiful acrylic display case with a little gold base. It really looks sharp when you set it up in your home or office. You'll get a numbered certificate of authenticity with each baseball. They're $49.95 each. And I think out of the collection that we have left, we only have a few hundred left. So when I give out that phone number and website in just a few moments, I do urge people to act on this if you want to get this as a nice commemorative to the season. And it's certainly a stunning-looking baseball. I got a chance to see a prototype, and it is beautiful. On sides of the baseball, you'll see we have a Tiger Eye logo. We have right across the sweet spot of the ball, it'll say 2025 National Champions with the LSU logo. And then we have some other interesting facts and figures put on various panels of the ball. Well, one side has the Alex Box Stadium facts. We have a Tiger Head logo. And it certainly has been a season to remember. I mean, they came in here. Coastal Carolina was not, it wasn't a rollover. They had won 26 games in a row going back to late April, and the Tigers went ahead and beat them 1-0 and 5-3, and to complete a unbeaten session out in Omaha, they won 5-0 out there. So this is a real tribute to the school, to the whole program. They've won now eight of these national titles for the College World Series, and two in the last 3 years. And the SEC, I see, has won six straight years. So they're playing in good competition, which I think gets them sharp and ready to go out to Omaha, and they're fully prepared. So I would not be surprised to see Coach Johnson's team back again next year defending their title. But here's how you can go ahead and get the rest of these baseballs. Like I said, we only have about a couple hundred left of the 2025. They make a great gift for maybe a graduation or for an anniversary. And I know some people have been buying multiples to use for Christmas time and put them in stockings. So the toll-free number to call to order these, again, they're $49.95 each. You get a number certificate of authenticity with it. Number is 800-345-2868. That's 800-345-2868. If you can't get through the phone lines, because I know when we were on with you the other night, it was just blitz for a while. NICOSports.com, that's the website. It's spelled NICOSports.com. That's NICOSports.com, or 800-345-2868. And I was talking to my son earlier today, and he's the assistant general manager with the Tampa Bay Rays. And he said, "Dad, there's going to be about five or six guys that come off that team in the draft." He says, "They got a heck of a team, and they're going to have a maybe even a better team next year."
Bob, listen, I was going to tell your son he needs some of those LSU players on that Tampa Bay team the way it is. But, I will say this, because people have asked me about that baseball. You could probably get seven, maybe eight signatures, you know, if you went to the park early and was asking for autographs. I have one from the first championship. I got six of them on it. And they would still have enough room where you could probably put another couple. So if people are interested, they could certainly get that. And it's a great not only Christmas gift, if you have a birthday coming up, that sort of thing. Just an awesome ball to have if you're an LSU Tiger fan.
Yeah, it's a season to remember for sure. They ended up, I think it was 53-15, and just a great, great year for Coach Johnson. And I expect that they'll be out there in Omaha again next year. I fully expect they will have a very, very good team, and they have a program. You know, you get into some of these dynasties, whether it be in football or basketball. I remember, you know, the UCLA dynasties back in the 60s in basketball. And then I was up here in Chicago for the Jordan years when they won six titles. And this is a dynasty in baseball. You know, seeing how LSU baseball has become, they become the UCLA or the Chicago Bulls for college baseball. So this is a cool thing to have. It'll only appreciate and value in years to come. So I do urge people to go to that phone number in the website and get yourself something that I guarantee when somebody walks into your office or home, they'll look at the baseball and the display case with the gold base and say, "Wow, where did you get that?" And probably after this weekend, they'll all be gone.
Bob, here's the crazy part. We had Jay Johnson on with us yesterday, so I'm talking to Coach, and I was like, "I know you're always recruiting." He's like, "Mike, I'm talking to you on the phone now, and I got a recruit sitting right next to me." So no more than 20 minutes later, I see transfer portal guy commits to LSU. So while he was on the phone talking to us here on WWL, he was trying to get a recruit was at University of Tennessee that actually committed to him. So, man,
I wanted to be known. You tell Coach when you see him next time that I was part of the speech as he was doing it. So I get a little credit for being by his side when he's recruiting.
Okay, will do. Will do. Steve?
Bob, just talking about this baseball, and like Mike mentioned before, the 2023 season as well, NICO Sports just keeps putting out these really beautiful commemorative pieces that fans, you said they can, you know, call, obviously, to check out, but also the website. What was that again, NICOSports.com?
Yeah, it's spelled NICOSports.com, NICOSports.com, or just call them. We have reps there taking the calls right now at 800-345-2868, 800-345-2868. 2868 or nikcosports.com. Hurry up and do it because, like I said, we only have a couple hundred of these left, and once they're gone, that'll be it. We're not going to be selling anymore.
Bob, definitely appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Bob.
And look forward to getting my hands on a baseball as well.
All right. You guys have a wonderful weekend. Be safe down there.
Thanks so much, Bob Ibeck, who does a great job with NICO Sports. And sitting right next to us now, Archie Manning from the Manning Passing Academy. And, Arch, this morning you made the comment, over 1,400. That's got to be the record breaker here. What is it, 48 starting college quarterbacks?
Yeah, we got 48. That's the most starting college quarterbacks we had. 40 was kind of always our number, and I extended it a little bit last year to 44, and we wound up with 48. Well, we just had a lot of campers. We thought we were going to be about 1550. At one point we're kind of like an airline. We oversell the camp,
right?
Because it's understandable that
some people
would have a high attrition rate. The registration opens up in October. So people and people come from all over the country, but people make plans in October, but it doesn't always work out for June, and conflicts come up, and so we're ready for that. We sell about 1,800 spots, and my guy Hawk is just he's perfect. He can predict this attrition. So, I mean, it wasn't a month ago we still had 1,800, 1,700. I said, Hawk, We can't. He said, "Don't worry, they'll drop out." And so we're about 1450, which is a big number. We can't house but about 950 here, Mike. So the rest of them are overnight campers.
Yeah, yeah, mom and dad sort of take care of
it. So many of them, though, you think, well, that's local kids. Not really.
No.
So you'd be surprised at people that drive their children all over the country and come here and get a hotel rooms here in Thibodaux or Homa and around, and the kids stay with them. They drop them off early in the morning and pick them up at night.
One of the great compliments to you this morning, I'm interviewing Cade Klubnik from Clemson. And I told him, what brings you back for a second time? He's like, when Mr. Archie called me up, I ain't turning him down. I'm going back to the Manning Passing Academy. So that's a great tribute to you and also to camp. And he said how much I enjoyed it. He enjoyed coming here last year.
Yeah, he's a great young man. And, boy, he's a good football player, of course.
I told him, tell him to be good, but the first game of the year. Because they play LSU.
They play LSU. That's a big game. Well, he'll be tough. He's an experienced player. He had a great game against Texas last year in that playoff game. Of course, he's from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from Austin. Great kid. Yeah, that's what is so much fun with these quarterbacks is, Mike, by and by, this. By the time a young man goes to college and he's a quarterback and he's playing in a football program, by his second, third year as a quarterback, he's developed some leadership skills. And they're accountable and responsible, and because that's what you got to be to play that position, and it's just fun to have them here. They just attack helping these kids, coaching these kids. They're coachable themselves. Peyton and Eli get in there, and David Morris, and we kind of tell them, here's what you want to do with these kids. Have fun with them. Tell them who you are, but coach them this. Coach them this on a five-step. Don't have one person throwing and nine watching. Let's have all five throwing and four catching and do it. And they listen and they do what they tell. And then what's really fun for me is to see how much fun they have together. For you got a quarterback from the University of Washington and a quarterback from Nicholls State. And they may be rooming together, and they're hanging out together, and they're working, practicing at the camp, eating together. We let them get away and have a little fun. It's just been a win-win with these quarterbacks.
I got to talk to Sam Levitt, and he was telling me his journey. He said, okay, I grew up in Oregon.
Yeah.
I go to Michigan State. Situation happened there with a coaching change. Decide I'm leaving. I go to Arizona State. And boy, did it work last year for him. Huh?
What a player. And yeah, that's the thing now more so than when we first started having quarterback. Of course, the first year we didn't have before college players. and two of them were from Southwest Louisiana, Jake Delhomme and Brandon Stokely. Yeah. And another one was Peyton Manning at Tennessee. And the other one was Bo Meeks, who was at Northwestern. And Bo's still coaching. He still comes to the camp every year. Though we had four. So now we got 48. But, Sam's – a lot of these guys have just got a story of where they're from and where they started and where they went in the portal. And we got Drew Pine here. He's on his fourth school. He's starting for Bowling Green next year. He's on his fourth school.
Yeah. I thought Tyler Shuck was bad. I got to see him toward the end, right before I left. And he was like, you know, I came here twice, and now I've come here back being a member of the Saints.
Well, it's never happened before. We've never had a college counselor who gets drafted in the pros and then the next year says, I want to come back and work at the camp again. But Tyler, he's an outstanding young man. And he and his Livy and I had he and his wife over last week. We just kind of – I wanted Livy to – and we wanted to meet her. And they just said, you know, basically you got a month off. And, you know, the coaches, it's when they go on vacations, when the players kind of go home or go back to college town, go back to their, you know, and kind of get ever revved up for the season. And Tyler just said, I'm not going anywhere. New Orleans is home for me now. They were looking for a house, and I think they found a house. He said, I want to work the camp. So I said, he said, I want to come to the camp. I said, well, I'm going to put you to work if you come. So the only thing I did, I gave him a little better living conditions than when the college guys there.
He's not in the dorm, right?
He's got a little better room. But what a great young guy. He is fun. You know, and Peyton and Eli really try to spend some time with these college players when we're not having practice on a workout or private meetings. And Tyler will be so helpful for them because just – 2 years ago, he was sitting in their shoes,
yeah,
and doing that. But he's older. He's been around. He went through adversity in college, getting hurt. But he's been to the combine. He's prepared for the combine. He's worked for his pro day. He's been through the draft. So what a great source he is for these quarterbacks that are here.
Just minutes ago, Lane Kiffin's son comes up, shakes hands. I notice y'all doing stuff. So Lane's son, who's a sophomore, I think, in high school.
He just moved off.
Yeah, and he came up, and he was throwing the ball. And man, I took a good look at him, and I was like, man, he looks like somebody I know.
Knox was here 2 years ago. Lane doesn't understand our registration opens in October. He always calls 2 days before camp to get his son in.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, who was bigger than I thought physically? Was the
Arkansas?
No. Austin Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
Man, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
He's a big man. Very well spoken.
He is.
And he's quite an athlete. Quite the athlete.
Yeah, you know his story. He was his dad's here from Miami. He was homeschooled, and he accelerated his senior year and got his credits and came out a year earlier out of high school, and then went up to Ole Miss. And of course he sat. But this past year when he went in for Jackson Dart, he led a great drive against Georgia. But he wrapped up his degree in 2 years. He's finished college, so he's. I think he can handle the system. You know, I think he can handle
just a little bit, right?
But he's nice, nice young man, very well spoken. And I usually don't invite. Many quarterbacks that hadn't played yet. I like for them to get kind of 1 year under their belt before we invite them in there. But someone said, "Well, why'd you invite the old Miss quarterback?" I said, "Because it's my camp, and I'll invite who I want to invite."
I know you probably heard the story, but Garrett Nussmeier was telling me, man, we go to Walmart, me and Orch, okay? He said, you know, it's the first time I've been somewhere, nobody's asking for my autograph or picture. They all want to take a picture with Orch. So he said, we go to Walmart, and everybody recognizes Orch. But he said, you know, nobody recognized me. So he said, you know, hey, I just stepped back. Hey, it's all good. It was all good.
That's fun. We love Garrett Nussmeier. He is such a he's just one of my all time favorites at this camp. Just you know, we talk about attitude and
yeah.
Always got that big smile on his face. And you know, he's got coach written all over him. He will be a coach.
Coach, yep.
I hope he plays 15 years of pro football, but he will be a coach like his dad. His dad's coming on his way here right now, I think, with his little brother, who's also a player.
Very highly recruited also.
Well, that's good. Well, we love the Nussmeyers, and I told you the story. I, he's been 2 years, and I didn't want to feel like he had to come, and I said, Nuss, now, listen, you don't have to come. You're getting ready for your senior year, and you got some workouts going on. He said, Mr. Manning, I'll be there, but on one condition. I said, what's that? He said, I want a room with Arch. I said, you can room with who you want to room with, anybody you want to. So he and it might be trouble in that room, Nussmeyer and Arch in there.
Well, the Walmart dealer, that's something that's going to go along pretty well. But to see so many, and I know you can't take all the counselors, but you have so many people reach out to you to come here to be a college counselor.
I wish I could bring them all. I wish I can't tell you. Our website, they write the golly and just – You know, now I keep them, and when a couple of guys dropped out this year, Drew Auer dropped out on me for the third year in a row, and then we had one, Mike, I never had before, Coach Signetti in Indiana would not let Fernando Mendoza, he didn't stop him from coming, he just wouldn't let him miss a Friday morning workout. That's never happened to me before. All these kids miss a workout. They all miss a workout. What one workout?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you met him last year.
Fernando Mendoza
is one of the most just
good
personality
guy,
all over him. So he's sick that he can't come. But I keep that list of some guys. We had one this year. He had transferred to Weber State. And his name is his name is Cash McCollum. I said, I got to invite a kid named Cash. I mean, he's that's a quarterback, right? And nice young man.
I remember this was a few years back. You had told me J.J. McCarthy from Michigan's coming here. Then all of a sudden, Harbaugh say, "Well, we got workouts. What? You miss a couple workouts? Come on, that ain't gonna make that big of a deal." But that is who Jim is.
I expected that from him. But the kids have a. I'm so glad to have a good time, and it's evidence, you know, when they want to come back, and I invite them. I like to invite them back. They know what we do, and you know, and they're helpful to the new guys. It's a real fun experience to have these college quarterbacks. And then I can't mention them without. We got 120 coaches other than them. And Mike, you know, a lot of these guys were coaches in South Louisiana, and they've continued to come and come. But then we've had coaches that Buddy Tevens knew in other parts of the country and everything, and they come every year, and they drive a long distance to come. You know, they're not getting rich for what I pay them in this camp, and they continue to come, and they're great coaches. And it makes me feel good that they want to be here, and they sure have a good time together.
Met up with Frank Monica as I was walking in for the interviews, and he seen me sort of limping around. He was like, "Finally, you got your old man card, right?" But Frank, I think, has missed one Manning passing
academy. I think Larry Favre has missed one. Jeff Curtis maybe started out. He's playing. I mean, he's just missed a couple like that. But Frank Mock, I tell people. Golly, yeah. Frank Monica and I played baseball against each other.
Frank was a baseball player here, guys, at Nicholls State, and Archie played him.
We played him in the Easter tournament at Baton Rouge in 1968 or 9, one of those years like that. And Frank was playing for Nicholls State. Unbelievable. Frank was on Buddy's staff when we started the Manning passing count.
I was going to say, it sort of seems strange not to see him here, Buddy Tevens.
Oh, we miss Buddy. Buddy was just such a wonderful guy. And, of course, he helped put this camp together and did so much work. I've had, it takes about three people to replace him, all he did. We miss him. You know, it's a lot of people we miss. We miss Buddy. Chris Mortensen was part of our camp. He came every day, and I pointed out today at our press conference, we miss Ed Daniels. I mean, Ed loved this camp. He absolutely loved this camp. And we were at a press conference, you were there, pointed out. Dale Weiner was on our first coaching staff, coaching staff, and came for years. And I was so excited that I got in touch with him when he's going into Louisiana Hall of Fame. But, his head is not good, but I sure hope he gets to go.
Every time Ed would come here, you would say, "Where are you going to take me to lunch, Mike?" Even though, you know how Ed, you know, he's always looking for something, but, man, we miss him not being here because he enjoyed coming here so much each and every year.
Yeah, Ed loved high school football. He loved high school football, and he was so good to my boys all the way through. And but Ed was just, you know, Ed was he was sincere. He was serious. He's good at what he did. I had more fun with Ed because I knew deep down Ed. I knew Ed loved LSU, but Ed can't come out and say
that.
But
he can't say it.
And he comes around me and he just talks about Ole Miss, Ole Miss, Ole Miss. I said, Ed, I know you're a Tiger. You go ahead. You can.
he wouldn't admit it.
No, he wouldn't admit
it. And so, you know, this was a year ago. He had done an interview with John Summerall. And so I said, Ed, you told him you're an LSU fan? He said, why, you told him? I was like, I can if you want. He's like, no. He said, you know how it is. I got to play it down the middle with everything. But, man, what Coach Summerall's done at Tulane is
he's coming in the morning. He's coming in.
Oh, that's awesome.
He hadn't seen our camp. He's coming in the morning. He's going to bring his son. I'm going to ride him around. Yeah.
Okay.
He wanted to come see the throwing tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. But one of the Tulane coaches getting married Saturday night. So
He's
got to go back for that. But John's coming. Great guy. Great guy. He's coming tomorrow and bringing his son and another young man.
I wondered a little bit, you know, when Coach Fritz left to go to Houston, how it would work out for the next coach. They sure picked a winner, didn't they?
They did. Yeah, he picked a.
Now, I don't know how long he stays.
No.
But that's beside the point. It's about winning, and he brought that to Tulane.
Good
again.
Coach. Good coach. They do a good job. Now, I've been to some Tulane practices. And those kids, they work hard. They have fun. He's got a good enthusiastic coaching staff. Really impressed with them.
What's happened here at Nichols, and kind of tell everybody why it's here at Nichols, because you actually ran out of room at both Tulane and Southeastern.
We did. We ran out quick at Tulane because they didn't have facilities. But so we were there 1 year, had 185 kids, and we went to Southeast Louisiana. It was pretty ideal. They didn't have football at the time. They'd given up football, if you remember, Mike, but they had their stadium. And they still had where their practice field was, and they had intramural. They had intramural. So we had our camp was 200 kids, 300 kids, growing, 400 kids. It probably got to about 500, and this was the end of the line for me. And I love the people over in Hammond, but I had to do school buses to get them over to a softball field for practice. And you know what happens with school buses. They break down. They break down, and I got kids walking all over Hammond and everything. I said, we got to find a bigger place. So about that time, Disney called and wanted to know about moving to camp there because they got a lot of great athletic facilities down there, and the Braves train there. The Bucks used to train them. Well, I kind of wanted to. Anyway, if you remember, the Saints had come back and trained in Thibodeau.
Yeah.
We came to Thibodeau when I was with the Saints in 1975.
They had some big mosquitoes back then.
They rained every day, and the mosquitoes ate us up. They ate us up. But anyway, the Saints came back, and Thibodeau did and got all ready for them, and they stayed 1 year. 1 year, and it wasn't Thibodeau. It wasn't Nichols State. They just wanted to kind of go home. They wanted to train at their facility. So they called us, and I said, yeah, we want to come look. And probably still, it's a lot of grass around this campus, but still probably wasn't enough, but except this field back behind their new facility. They got a 10-acre field back there.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's the clincher. We can put 20 football fields on that field right there. And I think the city and the university both had it, but they said, it's yours. So yeah, it was fine until our first year, and it had about a 2-inch rain. And they didn't tell me it didn't rain. And we all bogged down in there. So we did a little study on what our economic impact was for Thibodeau and Houma in the area. And it was pretty good. You know, back then we were bringing in 800-900 campers. And it was a couple million dollars. So I went to Governor Bobby Jindal. And I just said, we can't stay there with that field. We got to have it. We got to go to Disney. And he said, I'll fix that field. And he did. I mean, he didn't have any bones about it. He had good help from the local legislature here.
Norby Chaubert was a big part of it.
Absolutely. And he fixed it. And that field right now, it can rain all it wants to out here. And we can go practice. We can practice on that field. So we're home. This is it. We don't need anything else. They built a great new building here, football building. They can't afford an indoor facility. They built the next best thing. They built a covered facility, which is wonderful. And we were able to give them the turf for it. So it's they're part of us and we're part of them. They treat us good. They got a new good coach here, and we're really happy. It's our 20th year, Nicholls State.
What gave you the idea, the motivation to start all this?
To tell them the whole story. Peyton, wasn't him.
Peyton went to the Bowden Passing Academy. Bobby okay. Bowden had a yeah. Campbell in Birmingham. Samford.
Yeah. Samford, yes.
Samford College. And his sons were in coaching, you know, Tommy and his Terry was the head coach at Samford. And so they had a camp. And about that, Peyton loved it. And he told me, he said, "Dad, we ought to start a camp." Well, then he started getting recruited by Coach Bowden down at Florida State. And Coach Bowden said, "Archie, I love that camp, but because it guarantees me 4 days with my sons." And that kind of – I didn't forget that. And so we Peyton was at Tennessee, and Buddy Tevens had come to Tulane. I went down to talk to Buddy at Tulane, and he loved it. He thought it was a great idea, and the rest is history. 29 years later, we're still doing it.
Never would have thought it would end up like this.
Never. I thought we could be kind of a regional.
Yeah.
Kind of a regional. You're never going to convince me that people are going to drive from Pennsylvania down here, going to drive three kids down here for 3 nights for this camp. And they do. They come from all over the country.
You're known as like the QB guru now.
It's just it's amazing. It's credit to a lot of people. A lot of people. Buddy Tevens was such a big part of it. My sons have never missed a minute. They've never missed a minute. Of course, Eli was a camper the first 3 years. You know, that's how young he was when we started this thing. So
somebody interviewed me this morning and was like, "Man, you've been to a ton of these. Who was the best passer you saw here?" And I was like, real simple. Matt Stafford.
Stafford could throw it. As they say, he could have some RPMs on it.
And 25 of the 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL, Peyton talked about this morning, were here at the Manning Passing Academy. But nobody threw the football like Stafford did.
No, he could throw. He could really throw it. DeMarcus Russell could throw a deep ball, and it looked like a jugs machine. This jugs machine throws it. That thing came out there. That's a long pass. But he could. And then one night in the rain, I let him come out in the rain. It wasn't lightning, and we came out and had aired out in the rain. And Josh Allen threw a wet football 80 yards. I've never seen anything like that. Because a wet football is hard. And he's the one that talked me into coming out. He said, "Mr. Manning, let's go. Let's go." And that was something. But Matthew Stafford had some serious RPMs on the football.
I remember Frank Monica saying, "Mike, come here. I want you to see this guy." I said, "Who you got?" He said, "Matt Stafford." I said, "Oh, I've seen him." He said, "No, come take a look. This guy," he said, "he is beyond anything I've ever seen at the Manning Passing Academy."
You know, though, Mike, the world has changed so much in so many ways, and I just ride around today. I can't tell you how many good high school quarterbacks we have here.
Yeah.
I mean, the passing game has – I think it kind of started in Texas because that's really why we started the camp. Nobody in South Louisiana was throwing the football. Yeah. And high school coaches, you know, it was kind of run. And Peyton said, let's help them. Let's help the quarterbacks. Let's help the receivers. But I think it started in Texas because some of the guys over there, some high school coaches started throwing it and it spread. And now so many high schools, and I'm not talking about 50 times a day, but so many high schools are throwing the ball 25, 28 times a game. And I ride around here, and these kids, I don't think they're college players, and that's not what we're about. You know, I want to bring that up, some of our guys go on and play college. Some of them maybe been pro, but our mission is the same as it was in 1996. We want to enhance the high school experience. We just feel like any young man that chooses to play high school football should have fun doing it, and we want to make them better. We want to help them be better and help them have fun that they're doing it, and that's what we try to do, and these kids have a good time.
A last question for you. How is it to see you got grandsons now here? That's unbelievable.
Well, I got one as a camper, and he's Marshall's a good little quarterback. Yes. He'll be a ninth grader this year. And then, of course, they have Arch here as a counselor. And so, yeah, that's Full circle.
Yes, it is. Arch, thanks so much
for
joining
us. Yeah, Mike, always great to be with y'all. Thibodeau Regional Medical's been great to us since day one. They had a wonderful event for us last night. They're right next door, help us out in so many ways. So they're great partners.
We appreciate it, Arch.
Okay, Mike.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank
you, sir. Archie Manning here from the Manning Passing Academy. We'll been a little bit long, but we're going to go to break and come back with more from the Manning Passing Academy at Nicholls State University, courtesy of Thibodeau Regional Medical Systems.
We're back here at the Nicholls State University for the Manning Passing Academy in Thibodeau. We just heard from the great Archie Manning. What we're going to do is step away for our news and be right back with more right after this.